It is April 22nd, Earth Day, a day to think, if you choose, about the planet and its care and feeding, which is the kind of thing the organization Leave No Trace thinks about all the time. The name is pretty clear. When you visit the countryside, make sure that it bears no trace of your visit when you depart. The full name is the Leave No Trace Center for Outdoor Ethics, and Ben Lawhorn is the educational director of that center. Thanks for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
I understand this year marks an anniversary for Leave No Trace, 25 years old. What was the original mission?
Well, the original mission is much like our mission is today, is to promote and inspire responsible enjoyment of the outdoors. There are millions and millions of people who spend time on our public lands every year. And when we started 25 years ago, we had a very specific focus on backcountry and wilderness. And in the last 15 years or so, we've moved beyond the backcountry and wilderness into more front country and even urban spaces, trying to educate all those who spend time in the outdoors how to do so in a sustainable and responsible way.
What's the primary problem you find out there? What are the things that people are leaving out of their planning and their enjoyment of the outback, and not even that, but as you mentioned, the urban environments as well?
You know, there are a number of things that we see in terms of recreation-related impacts, and the vast majority of what we deal with, I would argue, is just a lack of knowledge rather than, say, malicious intent. I don't think people wake up and think, how do I harm the environment today? I think mostly it boils down to people just not having the skills or the understanding of how they can minimize their potential impacts on the outdoors, whether they're out in a park throwing frisbee in the afternoon or they're on a month-long mountaineering expedition.
So let's get to some basic ideas then. I mean, if the idea Leave No Trace, I mean, really does imply that when you go, it looks pretty much as it did. It looks exactly as it did, if not better, than you found. What are some of the basic ideas about how to do that?
Well, we're based on seven principles, and we have been since our inception. And the first principle is plan ahead and prepare. And we just can't stress how critical that is for any outdoor excursion. If you plan properly, chances are you will leave little to no impact, and in most cases you can leave no impact and leave a place better than you actually found it. So doing a little homework before you head out, having the right equipment. If it's going to be rainy, having rain gear. If you're going to be out for a full day, having water, food, maybe some extra clothes, a map obviously can be helpful. Certainly things like letting someone know where you're headed, just so that in the event of some kind of situation, you're not out there on your own. So a little bit of pre-planning can really stave off most of the impacts that we see in the outdoors. That said, there are a variety of things that can occur, whether we're hiking or camping or we're out with our pets. There are a variety of different impacts that can occur. And again, planning can really help head those things off.
Ben Lawhorn, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, the educational director of the Leave No Trace Center for Environmental Ethics. You can join us on this Earth Day and share your thoughts on how you plan to observe Earth Day or what you think people should be doing to observe Earth Day if they're not doing so already. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. I noticed that today kicks off your Leave No Trash campaign, Ben. What is that about?
Yeah, so every year for Earth Day for the last several years, we have had a Leave No Trash campaign. It's actually been a week-long celebration where we're essentially enlisting all of our community and people who are not familiar with Leave No Trace to get involved. Last year in the U.S., there were over 13 billion outdoor visits to public spaces, and the idea is that if all of those people visiting the outdoors could just pick up a piece of trash, or lots of trash in some cases, and pack it out of wherever they may be visiting, it's going to help the lands that we all collectively share. And so this is it's a great rally point for Leave No Trace, just in terms of energizing folks on Earth Day, getting them involved in something that's easy and meaningful, like picking up trash, and just getting people involved in this idea of being stewards of these lands that we collectively share.
So it was 13 billion outdoor visits just to public spaces.
Correct. And that's cumulative visits. So a lot of those cases, obviously, with a population of around 330 million here in the U.S., those are a lot of repeat visitors. So think about your favorite hiking trails or mountain biking trails. And so, yes, there are many people. And what we're dealing with when we talk about impacts to the outdoors, it's not just the one time that someone, cuts a switchback or tosses an apple core off the trail into the woods. It's when that happens over and over, we're dealing with the cumulative effect. So these impacts in the outdoors are individual, but they're cumulative over time and they add up. And that's where we start to see issues.
You hit on something really important right there when you talked about tossing the apple core, because there are lots of people, I think, who would, of course I wouldn't throw a plastic wrapper or something out in the woods, but the apple core is biodegradable. So, but you think that needs to come out too?
Yeah, I mean, I agree those items are biodegradable. The question you have to ask yourself is, would this item be here if I weren't? If I didn't bring this here, would it naturally occur here? And things like apple cores may seem harmless because they will decompose over time. The challenge becomes that when we introduce foods or food sources or even trash to an area that it's not native to, it starts to impact wildlife. That's where we see big issues, where wildlife become attracted to human foods potentially over time. They become food conditioned. In the case of an animal like a bear, a black bear, if they become food conditioned, they lose their fear of humans and they actively start to seek out human foods and trash. And that can bring bears and people into close proximity. And generally speaking, the bear is the one that gets either relocated, or in some cases, severe cases, a bear could be euthanized if it, you know, exhibits aggressive behavior towards people as it's searching for food. So again, while those items may be biodegradable, you have to put some thought into where you are. If it's a naturally occurring, if you're in an apple orchard, it may not be a problem. But if you're off on a scenic trail in the forest and there's no apple trees around, it's probably best to pack that item out.
All right. So apple cores, banana peels, orange peels.
You just got down the list. Pistachio shells, any of those items.
Mm-hmm. All right. We're talking again to Ben Lawhorn, the educational director of the Leave No Trace Center for Outdoor Ethics on this Earth Day. The Leave No Trash campaign activates for a week as of today. Talk to us about Earth Day. If you have any thoughts about how you think people should be observing Earth Day, any changes in your behavior today, how would you like to see other people observe Earth Day? Give us a call at 800-838-3760 or send an email to jx@jeffnet.org. You mentioned that there are seven principles that Leave No Trace works with. We already got plan ahead and prepare. Let's move ahead to travel and camp on durable surfaces. So don't make your own trails, it sounds like.
Yeah, I mean, the idea here is that where an existing trail currently is, use those trails. I mean, trails that are built to withstand impacts, and they're built usually in sustainable ways. And we encourage people to stick to those designated trails, even when they're wet and muddy. When we start to tiptoe around the muddy or wet spots in trails, we can unnecessarily widen trails, we cause erosion, we can damage trailside vegetation. And so we really encourage people to use trails where they exist. That's not to say that off-trail travel is problematic, it's just how you do that. Generally speaking, if individuals want to travel off-trail, we just recommend that people stick to the most durable surfaces they can, things like rock or gravel, snow, dry grasses, bare soil. We also advocate that they'd spread out so you minimize those impacts rather than following single footsteps. It's a matter of making good decisions about using the most durable surface at your disposal, whether you're on a horse, you're on foot, you're on a bicycle. Really what we're trying to do is just minimize those cumulative effects to these recreational resources.
All right, so durable surfaces, number two of the seven principles from Leave No Trace. Number three is dispose of waste properly. We just touched on some of that. Is there anything that should or can be left out there?
Yeah, I mean, there's certain things. For example, if you spend enough time in the outdoors, you're inevitably going to have to go to the bathroom. And so we advocate the use of what we call a cat hole, so a 6 to 8 inch deep hole that's dug 200 feet from water sources or campsites or trails. And you make your deposit, and those that certainly could be left in the backcountry when disposed of properly. When it's put in the soil like that, there are enough microorganisms that will actually decompose that waste over time. There are some areas that are very sensitive where that even has to be packed out. River corridors, for example, usually land management agencies that manage wild and scenic rivers and many other rivers that people use for water-based recreation do require that all human waste is packed out. So it really goes back to that plan and prepare, checking the rules and regulations, making sure you're appropriately dealing with not only your trash and human foods and that sort of thing, but also your own human waste.
And then, of course, principle number four is leave what you find.
Correct. Leave what you find. And that is really a tricky one. I would argue that leave what you find is really the most ethical of the seven principles because it's the idea of what you do when nobody's watching. You know, you come across a natural, a historical, or cultural object that may look pretty nifty on your shelf at home, but when we take those things out of the natural context where they exist, we lose that piece of the cultural or the historic or the natural context. And so we certainly advocate, enjoy and observe these items, but leave them behind for those who come after you to enjoy. Additionally, with this principle, we specifically talk about minimizing the spread of invasive species, which is a significant problem here in the U.S. Huh. And people that spend time in the outdoors can be can inadvertently spread invasive species from one area to the next through things like firewood, for example. So we advocate doing everything we can, cleaning equipment between trips, locally sourcing firewood, doing what we can do to minimize the spread of any potentially harmful invasive species.
Ah, okay. So can you track some stuff in your hiking boots and things like that too?
Correct. Mm-hmm. Bike tread, tire treads in your bike, tire treads in your vehicle. Where we commonly see invasive species moved is on the hull of boats or the transom of boats, where you have things like a zebra mussel that could attach. You then move your boat from one body of water to the next, and you've inadvertently spread an invasive species.
Okay. So that's the fourth of the seven principles from Leave No Trace. Minimize campfire impacts is pretty clear. Respect the wildlife is pretty clear. Be considerate of other visitors. I mean, are people getting better, getting worse? Do you sense a general trend here, Ben?
You know, I have been with Leave No Trace for 18 years, and I actually think that despite continued growth in outdoor recreation, that we are doing a pretty good job of sharing our public spaces, given the high numbers of people visiting. I mean, sure, there are certain areas where we may have some conflict between user groups, but by and large, I think the trend is that despite the fact that we have increasing visitation, generally people are being pretty respectful. Could we do more? Sure. You know, it's kind of the golden rule of Leave No Trace, if you will. You know, just making sure that your chosen outdoor pursuit doesn't unnecessarily impact someone else's experience.
Ben Lawhorn is the educational director of the Leave No Trace Center for Outdoor Ethics on this Earth Day. That's why we're talking to him. This begins their week-long Leave No Trash campaign. The basic idea of the Leave No Trace Center, though, is when you go out to the outback, you don't leave any impacts. And it's not just about remote areas, too. It's about any place where you would visit the landscape. Join us on the exchange with your thoughts, comments, questions. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email jx@jeffnet.org. You know, as far as people leaving stuff out there, trashing the woods. Once upon a time, like around the first Earth Day, there were constant public service announcements across all media about not littering. Is the message no longer necessary? Or, is the environmental ethic generally better, you think, than it was 47 years ago?
Great question.
49
years
ago.
You know, I think that trash and litter is still certainly an issue in many parts of the country. I think people tend to be a little more aware of trash and seeing trash and realizing that it's more than just an aesthetic issue. It's not that it just looks bad. It actually causes issues within the environment. So I do think we have an educated, you know, sort of population these days, but clearly there's still work to be done. Over the last couple of years, we've done a number of studies specifically looking at trash and recycling behavior in visitors in national parks. And what we're finding is that by and large, most visitors to these protected areas realize the importance of properly disposing of their waste and actually sorting recyclable materials in national parks. So one of the big challenges that we have is how do we transfer that behavior from a park or protected area to what they do at home or what they do in their neighborhood or their city or their town? And so there is certainly some room to grow and improve on this. But that said, I think we have a more environmentally aware citizenry these days than we did, say, 40 years ago.
You have programs for kids, is that right?
We do. We do. We have fantastic programs for kids, one of which has been around since the early 2000s. It's called our PEAK program, P-E-A-K, Promoting Environmental Awareness in Kids. And it's been a way for us to engage kids from, say, 4 to 12 years old in really learning about how they can be stewards of the outdoors, how they can put their actions to work for the good of the environment. And we, you know, historically have had anywhere from, 200,000 to 250,000 kids a year go through that PEAK program. We continue to develop new youth resources. In fact, one of our key initiatives that was launched in 2016 was Leave No Trace for Every Kid. And the idea is that we want to make sure that every kid who spends any time in the outdoors is aware of and informed and understands how to put Leave No Trace into action anytime they're outside.
How is the attendance going in those programs? I mean, you mentioned 250,000, but this is a time in history when it seems like a lot of kids are indoors with video games. If the surveys are correct,
yeah, there are a lot of kids in the inside. But where we have started to focus more and more is programs that are actively taking kids outside. Summer camps, for example, after school programs, expeditionary learning schools. Opportunities where kids are already spending time outside, we're able to infuse those outings with Leave No Trace. It's much more contextually relevant. They're already outside. And so we're, you know, it's a challenge for sure. I mean, we even cater to that online situation, if you will, through, you know, we have online course for kids that they can take. Yet we do still advocate that kids get outside and spend time in the outdoors.
So I noticed that it's not just a matter of education and just general stewardship, but there's also some citizen science projects you have coming up?
Correct. We have been actively working on a couple of different citizen science efforts in conjunction with our federal land management partners to accomplish a couple of things. One of the ways that we can measure change over time is through good monitoring data of resource and social conditions in parks and protected areas. And so we have been enlisting volunteers to help collect that data, to either give us, you know, baseline data on conditions as they exist, and in some cases, if baseline data already exists, we can re-monitor that data and look at change over time. And it's one of the ways that we can both demonstrate the effectiveness of Leave No Trace, but it also helps us be much more strategic about how and what to deploy in order to address certain recreation-related impacts.
Any ideas? I mean, do you have examples of kinds of citizen science things you have coming
up? Yeah. We had two great projects last summer. One was in New Mexico, right outside of Albuquerque, in a place called Caxacatui. It's managed by the Bureau of Land Management. It's a national monument. And we were specifically looking at various recreation-related impacts and cataloging those impacts, which we're then able to map and to help those land managers understand what the situation is on the ground, where assistance is needed, where education and in some cases infrastructure may be needed. We had another project here in Colorado, a very famous area called the Maroon Bells. It's down near Aspen, Colorado, and we specifically looked at more of the social side of recreation and looked at issues like crowding and really enlisted the citizen scientist to engage in basically social science work. And so we have several different citizen science projects lined up for 2019, and we're continuing to grow that program because people want to get involved, and it's an easy way to utilize the technology that most all of us have in our pocket every day, a smartphone.
But that's a great point you bring up, that there are impacts from people running into each other out in the woods, and if all the people who are home playing video games got out into the woods, it'd be more crowded than that.
Could be. I mean, it could be. The challenge is, you know, obviously with increasing numbers, there's the potential for increasing impacts to the outdoors, just more footfalls, more people, more campers. That said, that's why Leave No Trace is perhaps more critical now than ever. I mean, there are more and more of us enjoying our shared lands, our parks and protected areas. And so we like to think of Leave No Trace as potentially a tool for allowing continued growth and recreational enjoyment of the outdoors, but in a way that doesn't impact the environment and doesn't impact other people's experiences.
And how can people find Leave No Trace online?
They can visit our website. It's lnt.org. We've got a variety of resources that are free. We've got, of course, all the social channels, Instagram, YouTube, and the rest. And so we encourage people to just follow our social media feeds. Find us on Instagram and just get a taste of what Leave No Trace is like. If you're not familiar with it, if you are familiar with it, consider getting online and learning even more.
And take the Apple Core with you. We have to leave with that one.
It's a good thing to pack out, for sure.
Okay. Ben Lohorn is the executive director of the Leave No Trace Center for Outdoor Ethics based in Colorado. Thanks for joining us today, and happy Earth Day.
Yeah, likewise. Thanks so much for having me.